Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. My name's Michaela, and tonight's show is about, hey, is your spirit calling? Are you going to answer? Many of us do not hear our spirit calling out because we have allowed external noises to deafen the whispers and knowings of our soul. When we are more quiet and conscious, it opens us up to be more receptive to taking the messages we are always given. It helps us to connect also with all of creation. Another problem many of us face has to do with energy. Everything has energy, thus having the power to affect us, from the people we interact with to the spaces that we occupy. Sometimes we feel drained, depressed, out of sync, and don't even know why. It could be possibly that something energetically is going on. Tonight, Susan K. Hanslick, intuitive energetic healer of Spirit Eagle Soaring, joins us to share her wisdom in regards to energy work. We will be discussing things you can do to help clear your surroundings and your aura of negative energy and how to bring more positive energy into your life. Susie will also share a few examples of how all beings carry their own medicine, which means energies, traits, qualities, skills, lessons, habits, and abilities unique to them, and how that can help us also in our lives. Susie has studied various forms of healing modalities from all over the world for over 31 years to help you on your wellness journey. Her gifts include energetic healing and shifting, both in person and remote long distance, and also works with animals and pets. She also does energetic space clearings for homes and businesses, along with totem animal readings. She also offers group readings and group healing sessions as well if needed. To learn more about Susie and what she has to offer, please visit www.spiriteaglesoaring.com. Okay, I know that was a long world introduction to everyone, but that had to be said. So anyways, with that, I want to welcome on Miss Susie and bring her to the show. So welcome, Susie. How are you doing today?
Hi, Miss Michaela. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. I'm so excited that you're finally on the show. I've been wanting to talk you up forever because you just do great work. But just to start off, I wanted to ask, this is a loaded question, I know, bear with me, but I wanted to see if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you became an intuitive energetic healer, and then after that, we'll go into more.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here with you. I really appreciate your time. Well,
most welcome.
It's just, this has kind of been ongoing all my life. When I was, you know, very little, I tuned into spirit and I received information for a good part of my life until probably my mid-20s. That's when I started to learn what was really going on with me, because I didn't really have any mentors or anyone explaining to me what was going on when I used to receive messages and things like that. And then as I got, I don't know, in my mid-20s, I really started wanting to work with energy, and I became very, very interested in healing and the way that energy shifts, because from when I was little, I used to be able to work with energy, and when it would get stuck or stagnant, I seemed to know how to work with it. It's just that it was just something naturally that came to me, but I consciously wasn't aware of really what I was doing, if that makes any sense. It took me until I was older to put it all together. So it just built upon itself through the years of different teachers I studied with and different modalities that I learned, and it just kind of blossomed into what I do right now, if that answers your question.
Yes, I think that is lovely, Miss Susie. I think the fact that, like, you know, a lot of people don't address, I think all of us, actually, we have our gifts that were given to us. And in fact, you know, a lot of us, we do have those intuitive knowings, but a lot of it's suppressed. And then, of course, some people more than other just even have it even more. And it's whether or not you, like, nurture that. And so I think it's really cool that, you know, even though you didn't understand it early on, you went ahead and followed through over the years and continue to, you know, build upon your skills. Do you mind sharing, you know, some of the, I guess, experience or studies that you undertook? Because, I mean, you've got over 30 years of doing this. So what are some of the things that you studied along your way?
Well, I studied with different intuitive teachers. There was one in particular I studied with for 3.5 years. And 2.5 years of that was she taught us how to tune in and connect directly to spirit. It was honing in on our skills. And then for a year I studied intuitive healing with her, and she really opened up. Her name was Miss Nancy, and I just loved her. She was a fabulous teacher. And I really learned a lot from her in regards to understanding that as human beings that we all have our own issues and we all have our own stuff. And there was a real important piece about non-judgment, because a lot of us, you know, when we're going through different difficulties in our life, we may go into shame or blame or judgment, you know, with ourselves or with others, and we may get stuck in that energy. And it's really freeing to understand that there is no need to go into judgment or shame or guilt or blame or any of that, because we're all human and we all have our own journeys that we're on, and we all go through our own personal stuff. We have our own things that we go through, our difficulties, our challenges, and I'm one that subscribes to past lives, and those come into play as well. So when you combine all of those experiences that we have throughout our lifetime, and, you know, as we grow older, that all adds up to a lot of stuff. So it's just,
right.
yeah, and part of what she taught us is what the goal is, to work on our issues that cause us problems and cause us difficulties. We all have triggers, certain things that may trigger us, and we're not even really aware of what they may be. And sometimes people will say, you know, if you ever notice out of the blue, they may say something or they may react to something, and then they may look at you and say, I don't even know why I did that. I don't even know what happened there. You know what I mean? It was just unconscious. Mm-hmm. You know, they acted out, but then after they thought about it, they didn't really know why they even did that. So those kind of things can be hidden in the shadow part of ourselves. And that's another thing that we work on in the work I do, because a lot of our shadow are things that we don't want to look at, things that maybe were traumatic when we were young, or something that may have happened and we just don't want to go there. And so we just kind of push it down and push it down, and that goes into the shadow. And we think we can hide it or, you know, walk away from it or get a, you know, try to escape that. But it underlies in the energy field, and it hides there, and it does affect us, and it kind of bleeds into our everyday life. And then as we work on those shadow aspects, our hidden skills and gifts and abilities and clarity comes to the surface. So that's the beauty in, you know, doing our work. And the whole goal is all these little pieces of ourselves that we kind of lose bits of ourselves throughout the day, throughout our lives, and, you know, energetically speaking. And so the whole goal is to call all those missing pieces and the shattered parts that have been, you know, that we don't want to look at. We call them all back home into the whole soul. That's the whole goal, is to become whole again, and not have if some part of us is broken off and separated from the whole. It's there. It's stuck energetically. It's to bring that peace back home again, so that we feel more balanced and centered and whole. So that's the goal.
I love that, and that is a beautiful thing, because a lot of, like you said, I mean, you just said it so beautifully. I couldn't even have put that any better, Susan. But it's like, you know, we don't want to address a lot of that stuff, and we stuff it and deny it. And, you know, what I also love about having you on the show is because, you know, it is a health and wellness show, and I believe that encompasses a lot of things, body, mind, and spirit. And that's something that you don't see addressed a lot of times in Western medicine or what we consider regular medicine. And I think it's really, truly needed because you can't break off those pieces. You know, a lot of times when you go into regular doctors, you know, they're not looking to fix the issue. They're not asking all these pertinent questions and seeing those things. You know, they're just looking at external issues and wanting to band-aid it with like a prescription or something. And so here it is, I think, you know, being able to clear things up with energy and looking at the root issues for people and let them face them, that's a beautiful thing. That's true healing to me. Me anyways, and I think there's a lot of people that would resonate with that. So I've got another question for you, Miss Susie. How do you get quiet to connect with Source, Creator, God, whatever you'd like to call that?
What I like to do, and I do this a lot, I either use my rattle. I have a rattle, which is considered rain in the indigenous cultures. So I use the rattle a lot in the work that I do, and when I clear the aura and clear the home. And the reason I love there's many reasons, but it's like when you go outside and it rains, you know, that smell that
uh-huh.
comes to the air and when everything is fresh and clean, it's like that. It's like a shower for your house energetically.
Ooh,
considered rain.
Nice.
Yeah. And yes. And your aura as well. So when you know, we take showers, which, you know, is cleansing to the body, but like using rattle is not the only way. There's people who smudge with sage, of course, and some people clear with water.
That.
Yeah, there's many different ways. So there's no one set way to do anything because many people have their own way of clearing and there's no right or wrong. It's whatever works for person because everybody's different. We all resonate to different energies and different. So that's the beauty of that. I just happen to use a rattle. And usually what I do is I like to clear my house or at least the room. If, for example, if I do a healing, the first thing I do is I clear the energy in the room. And I also ask that the space that wherever the person is that I'm working with, I always get their permission, of course, before, you know, with the work I do and I explain what I do to make sure they want that done. But I also ask that the space be cleared where they are, the room or the wherever they are at the time. And so whatever I do here, I ask that the same thing happen there. And then I clear myself as well. And then I also clear the aura or the auras of the ones that I'm working with. And that kind of starts the there's a lot that can come up during that, especially what I do is I clear the space first. And then I clear, you know, it's just by naming energies, you know, I ask that this room be cleared of any dark or dirty energies, entities or beings. And I say any dark force energies, entities or beings, any astral energies, entities or beings, things like that, just whatever comes to mind. And there's no judgment in those words. It's just the intention of speaking. And then I'll say, I ask that this room be cleared of any energies of pain, disease, sickness, suffering. And when I do this here, I also ask that once again, that the room of the person that I'm working with, that all of that, it's also intended for them where at whatever space they're in. Once I clear the space,
mm-hmm.
then what I do is I call in all the energies of what I want to fill the room of good health and long life and wellness, abundance, peace, harmony. And you can just name whatever names that come to mind. And then the third piece of that is sealing the room with those same energies that you call in because you like to be able to seal the room with kindness and happiness and, you know, long life and good health. So it's kind of like a three-part process of clearing the space. And once you do that, a lot of times when I'm finished with the rattle, I will drum for a while as well because the drum is the heartbeat of Mother Earth and it's a very calming and peaceful. And a combination of that and just clearing the space, you can feel the difference in your energy field and it's just easier to get quiet and connect. And a lot of times if we turn everything off, the TV, the cell phone, and we do that and we're just in a quiet space, that's where information can come in and messages. And a lot of times if people will close their eyes, they'll see, you know, many different things can come in, little symbols, or they may see a flower or a butterfly or an animal or they may hear something, or they just, I don't know, it's just, that's how I like to get quiet with doing that. Or, of course, going out in nature and just being in nature. You don't need a drum or a rattle. You know, being in nature, sitting by a tree, sitting by the water, or wherever someone feels nourished, that is, of course, you know, nature is the most healing space, is, you know, to be in. So anytime someone can get out in nature. And one thing, too, that I found, and I've heard this for a long time, and I do this often, is that if someone's not feeling well, or if they're really under the weather, one of the best things to do is to go outside and be barefoot on the grass, and to either walk around, even for a few minutes, or to stand there, or to sit and have their feet flat on the ground, and just soak up those negative ions from Mother Earth, because that in itself is so healing. And a lot of people these days, we're so busy in our lives. We might have went barefoot as children when we were out playing.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people, some people may go barefoot, but a lot of people always have shoes on, you know, so they miss that. But it's so healing to do that. So I just wanted to toss that little idea
out
there.
I'm so glad. Yes, I'm so glad, because these are like little simple things that people can do. And, you know, the whole, you know, being barefoot and grounding, it's like it's such rerooting back to the earth. And, you know, I remember another good friend of mine who was into energy work, you know, she told me that a long time ago. And I was like, ew, get my feet dirty, gross. But just get over it. It's fine. Like, go stick your feet in the grass. Go stick it in the dirt, in the sand. You can wash it off. But you know what? It felt so good, and I truly did feel recharged, and something so simple as that. And so I'm glad that you pointed it out. I want to jump back to, like, the energy clearing of the rooms and stuff and ask you, so how do you seal up a room?
Well, when I seal it, well, you know, first I clear it of the negative energy, and it's by intention. And in this particular way that I'm describing, it's just naming words. Then I call in all the energies of what I want to bring in. And then I simply ask the third phase of it, as I say, I ask that this room be sealed with, and I pretty much name the same energies that I called in step two.
Okay.
You know, okay. That's what I do. And,
got it.
And it's just, and really, I want to stress how important intention is, because a lot of people may think, oh, you know, and they may not realize that, because our words are very, very powerful, and we create with the words that we speak, and also with our thoughts, and then combined with our emotions, that's how we create, you know, 24/7 in our lives. So intention is really, really important. And a lot of people may think that, oh, I can't do that, or they may not be able to do that. Everybody can do this very easily. It's not, you know, all you do is need your intention, and so it works for everyone. So
I love that you pointed that out, because that's what I wanted to highlight that too, is our words very much do matter. Like, again, it starts with thoughts, and then it could become, you know, once you speak it, it's like you breathe life into it, so that makes it happen. I kind of want to tease you a little bit, and so, like, how long does a sealing of a space last? I mean, is it like 2 days, a week, a month? Like, you know, like, how long does that, would you, or do you even think, like, how do you know, like, when you need to do it again? You just feel that the energy just somehow feels different, and you know it's time to do it again?
Yes, a lot of times you can tune into it. What happens is, it depends on, you know, the situation in the home. For example, a lot of times if there's people that are looking, let's just say somebody's lived in the house for a long, long time, and they want to sell a home. And sometimes the home, I don't know if you've ever noticed, when you could go into like a store and you just feel like something isn't right. You know that feeling when you walk into a room or space? That's it. You can tell by that. Like, sometimes there's houses where they're beautiful houses, and when you walk inside, they're just beautiful. But when you tune into the energy, for whatever reason, and there's no judgment on anyone who's lived there, but, you know, if, let's say a family's lived there for 30 years, and, you know, there's, you know, the regular human activity of fights and quarrels and, stress, tension. See, all of that is real energy because whatever we feel, we emanate. Yeah, we emanate that out into our environment. And, you know, if somebody's in a really, let's say, a real stressful relationship, well, they may notice the energy be difficult, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people may sense that when they come into their home. If somebody, let's say there's a couple that fights a lot, that would, and that energy kind of lingers there unless somebody clears it on a regular basis. Also, if somebody has a prolonged sickness or they've been ill for a long time, you know, that can,
right.
you can pick up on that a lot. It just feels, you can just kind of feel it. So it just depends on the who lives there and, you know, how often they want to clear their space. I clear mine. Well, every time I do a healing for somebody, I clear mine. And then it just, sometimes I just clear it because I just feel closer to the creator when I do. So I do mine quite often, but that just depends.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different. It's kind of like, you know, what your preference would be. But if you move into, I always suggest, this is what I suggest, if there's been a big shift in the family, or if somebody has left, or even maybe passed on, or if there's been a sickness, or if somebody, let's just say there was a relationship that was very stressful and maybe they broke up, those are really good times to clear the space. Another good thing is if you're selling a house or when you first move into a house, before you move in, it's really nice to clear your home as well, or the apartment, or even a business, just to clear any remnants of the old energy that was in there. And then that way you can set the energy of what you want for yourself and call that in, you know, for your business or your home. It's just nice to do that because it's just like doing a house clearing, like, you know, how you clean your house. This would clear it, you know, and when you do that and set your own intentions and call that in, it's just, it gives you a sense of peace, a sense of being at home, and especially when, you know, you're calling in what you want to call in, that is your intention. So you can really feel a difference. It's just nice to, but that's up to each person
and
how often,
they'd want to. Yeah. Well, it also makes me think of, you know, like, I don't know if it's Chinese, but I don't really know. It is Asian. I will say, you know, when they do feng shui, you know, like where they, you know, have certain placement patterns for different objects and things and bringing certain elements into a space. It makes me even think about that. And that, I mean, they've been studying that for thousands of years and putting that into practice, and it seems to work. So I'm like, why wouldn't shifting energy also be something, you know? So that's one of the things that came out here. We got so much to talk about. I wouldn't even think of, my goodness, Miss Susie. Okay, let me get into another thing here. You know, you do totem animal readings. And so I wanted to see if you could share a little bit about what that is, and then maybe share a few examples of some of the animals and what their medicine is.
Okay. Yes, there's a, when I do work on people, sometimes animals come in, I may see certain animals that come in or that have messages during a session. And what I do is I take notes of the session as when different things come to me, if I'm given messages or if I see anything. You know, sometimes I see symbols and sometimes I see different animals. So they may come up during a healing, during a session, an animal. But then there's also what I use, and I just recommend this for anybody that loves animals and also anyone with children. There's what they're called the medicine cards, and it's by Jamie Sams and David Carson, and they're just fabulous. And see, I do totem animal readings for people, and I love to do that. However, this, you don't need anyone to do this for you. You can purchase the medicine cards and also do them, it shows you. They're very easy. What I like to do, if I do a reading for someone and I visit somebody's home, and let's say there's several people that want to have an animal card reading, I clear the room because I consider this a sacred ceremony. Whether I do a healing session or it's a totem animal reading, to me it's a sacred ceremony. So what I do is I clear the space of wherever it is that the reading's going to be done, and then I clear the aura also of each, whoever's there. There may be just one person, or they may have several, and I clear each of their auras, and then I also clear myself, you know, because that's how I start that out when I do it. But anybody can buy the medicine cards and also do, you know, their reading. There's different kinds of, you can set the cards up differently, but the easiest way to do it is the cards that it mentions the North American animals for the medicine cards, and you can shuffle them. And then what I like to do when I do readings, there's several ways that you can put them out, but if somebody's actually doing a medicine card reading, in this particular teaching, they teach that there's 9 medicine animals that they choose you. They choose you. We may think we choose them, but they actually choose us. And a lot of times our pets and our animals actually choose us as well. We may be thinking we're choosing somebody, but it usually is the other way around, that they choose you. And it's you know, when I mention that to people and they think about it, they go, yeah, you know. But but these animals, they come to you, and every creature, like you mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show, all of us, whether human or animal or whoever, we all have certain medicine that we carry on this planet. It's the gifts and the abilities and the skills and our own set of energies that we have. And we help to make this whole circle of life complete. And the world needs your medicine. The world needs, we each need the medicine of each other, especially when you look at the web of life and the spider is considered, you know, the one who weaves that. The first alphabet is what spider medicine is, creativity. And when you think of how delicate a spider web is and how easy it is to, it's very delicate, it's very beautiful, but there's people who consistently are recreating the web and mending the web, and then there's those who consistently be harming the web. You know what I mean? So it's so important to always have a balance there and to pay attention to what we're weaving, what our web that we're in, and whether we're weaving a web or we're getting entangled in it. It's really important to pay attention to that. But anyway, the animal cards, yes, because everything is energy again, and we can get caught in our own words, we can get caught in our own thoughts and our own belief systems. And it's interesting because I've often thought about belief systems and how entrapped people can be just in a simple belief system, just a belief system for just something they might have learned when they were little, I don't know, just something that may seem so insignificant. Like, well, you know how sometimes somebody might tell a child, you'll never be able to do this particular thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's something like writing or singing or something that the child might want to do, but because somebody might have mentioned one time to them that they'll never be able to do it, they're real small, so a lot of times, especially children, well, adults do the same, they take it to heart, and they somehow put this into a belief system thinking that they will not be able to do this particular thing. Because, and so that's one of the dangers I stress to people. By clinging into or onto a belief system so tightly, it can actually do us harm. Because it can, we could be in a box and not even want to open the lid because of something that somebody else might have said, and we pick it up, but it may not even have anything to do with us, and we do that a lot, where we take on other people's stuff. We pick up other people's belief systems just because we might have learned them or along the way, and then they don't really even serve us. So part of working with the energy is to examine those things that no longer serve us and to rewrite our language, to not include some of the words that we may have used to say, Like, I can't do something and change it into, I can do this easily. just simple things like that. Or if somebody is afraid of, let's say somebody doesn't is afraid of getting a cold, and they have a belief system that every time they're around anyone with a cold that they're going to get the cold. If they think that, then there's a really good chance that they will. However, if they don't claim it, and if they're next to somebody and they change it up and say, I'm not claiming that cold. Yeah, I'm not, that's
right.
Not mine. I'm not, and it does really make a difference. And another sign of cold, just so you know, I've heard over the years that sometimes if somebody does get a cold, that could be a sign of indecision in somebody's life, a cold. So I just thought I learned that from a teacher years ago. Because one time we were in a class and we all had colds except her. And she wasn't worried about catching our colds. And she looked at all of us and she said, every one of you is in a state of indecision. That's why you all have a cold. And I thought, I knew I was. So we all looked at each other and asked each other, and every one of us was that had a cold. And almost, it was only like 8 or 9 people. But, you know, it was funny how she said that, and she was absolutely right. And she didn't have one. So it's interesting.
That is,
you know.
Yeah, it is. It is, because that has been brought up to me before, too. Again, another, like just that you... you wouldn't think that matters, but it's possible that could happen to you as also if you're open to it, and you'll be more susceptible. There's a book that I love. I don't know if you've heard of it also, but I've mentioned it before on the show, a book called by Louise Hay, and it's called You Can Heal Your Life, and it's about disease being dis-ease in the body. And it just talks about so many different ailments under the sun, like alphabetic index, a dictionary. You can pull up anything and look up, what does this relate to? And ironically enough, it seems like majority of the issues that face us has to do with emotions, and again, those energies. And so, you know, once you kind of put a finger on it, it's just interesting where you can take that. The other thing I wanted to point out, too, that we didn't mention, Miss Susie, is I know you have a background in LNLP as well, and I think that's really helpful when you, I mean, that's not what you specifically use with clients, but that is something that's in your toolkit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think that's a great thing. Yes. Okay, so you know what? We got a little bit more time left, but I still want to ask you a few more things, Ms. Susan. And one of them I wanted to ask you is, because you also work with animals and people's pets, what is that like?
That is one of the most rewarding things for me. Animals are my passion. They have always been, and they always will be. So is the earth. And I love humans too, but animals are really, really my passion. And so when I have an opportunity to work with someone and their pet, what I seem to get, sometimes I get calls with people whose pet may not be feeling well, and I do work on them. And then sometimes I may get calls from someone whose pet has passed on and into spirit. And the messages and the things that come in regarding, you know, the animal and, you know, what they tell their human, that it's very, I learn a lot when sometimes I can't believe some of the information that comes in, because I'm taken places where I've never been before, or I see things that I haven't seen, or it's amazing. For, example, there one time my brother had a dog, and his name was Alex, and he had gotten sick. He got Lyme disease, and so the decision was made that he was put down, and he went to spirit. Well, for 3 days he was coming to me with these messages that were just, and he was so funny, the different things that he said, and he told me he was with the big dogs now, and he would explain all the names of these different, but he gave me information that I didn't know. And when I told my brother, you know, for example, he was a dog that, they're registered, or they have a name where they're registered, things like that. I have a little dog, but she's not that, but on his certificate, he gave me a name. He called himself Alex the Great. I think that's what he said. I'd have to go back and I didn't know anything that's what he called himself. And my brother said, that's the name on his certificate. you know.
Wow.
And so he gave information that only my brother knew, that but the way that it came through and the peace that came with it, because I was so sad about this. This was a very, very sad time in our family, and the whole it was just so sad. So it was comforting to get this information. But that's the beauty of that, when they come in and the words that they say, and it can bring comfort to someone when they lose their animal or they lose someone in their life, because, you know, it's hard because there's such a thin veil between this dimension, this reality that we're in the spirit world. It's a very thin veil, and I feel that it's getting thinner all the time myself. That's my own analogy of it. But when we lose someone that we love, whether that's a pet or a human or anyone, it's very difficult not having them there physically. So sometimes
right.
the next best thing is to be able to receive a message from spirit, from them about what's going on, or some kind of validation that they know, you know, because they're still, a lot
right.
of times they're still with us. And it, so there's... I love working with the animals.
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got a question for you on that. Is there ever any time that, like, when you're working with, pets that has passed on, that maybe you don't get any messages? You know, I guess my thing is, you know, I know you're legit because I've experienced working with you, but, I mean, I know that, you know, I don't watch much TV, but you hear about, like, I don't know, the pet whisperer or something. I don't even know if that's the name of it. But, you know, you have people out there that prey on people and their losses and their misfortunes and their sadness, and you know what I mean? And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not to be selling false hopes or false whatevers, and I know you're not doing that, but is there any time that, like, you've ever worked with clients where you just, there was a block where you didn't get, receive messages, you know, or any kind of knowings?
Yes, there is. There most certainly is. One of the ways that I validate information when it comes in is, especially if it's specific, like to a pet or a person, or I'm naming a name,
mm-hmm.
or I get chills and goosebumps, literally. And that's validation for me. So somebody could be talking to me on the phone and mentioning, an animal like a cat or a dog or whoever that may have passed on recently, and I may not pick anything up at all. And that
mm-hmm.
may be what they actually want. And this is how I do my work. I don't whatever comes to me, that it comes from spirit. I work, you know, when I do the first one that I call in when I do my work is creator. And then that's how I base everything around. And I had a wise teacher one time that told me, she said, it's not always our business to know certain things. And sometimes people may get well, sometimes they may get sicker, and sometimes you may experience someone, you know, passing on with this, you know,
uh-huh.
it's part of life. And so there, nothing is forced with me. And if I don't receive anything, it doesn't mean that they're not going to receive a message. It just may mean at the moment that I'm doing my work that there's no message to be given. And then, you know, so, and sometimes that's one of the reasons years ago, one of the reasons I kind of backed off doing my work was exactly because of this question that you asked. Because sometimes when I've done healings for people, they may have received a lot of information. And then the next time that I may do them, they may want a repeat of what happened to them before. And see, I have no control
uh-huh.
over the message. I have no control over what happens because I'm simply a messenger and a
right.
conduit for energy. And that's all I am. So, but see, it's our attachment, like the Buddhists say, to certain things that may cause us sadness. And then if they don't get the same
right.
information that they, so, you know, yeah, that can happen. I tell people that's one reason when I do my work, I don't do it over the phone. Like there's some people that can do, my teacher told me that I very well could do this over the phone, but I usually don't because I let the messages come in, just flow, because that way,
right.
Then when I'm finished, I write everything up, and then I have a telephone conversation with the person that I did the healing with, and I tell them everything that came up, and then that's when they can ask questions. And sometimes then, during that conversation, more information may come in that I can answer for them. But, yeah, there's sometimes it just doesn't, for whatever reason. And it could be that it's just the timing, because everything is about timing.
Right.
And maybe there's a reason that they're not being given that just yet. Maybe there's a piece that needs to be healed, or they need to work something through before that, you know what I mean? So,
right. Well,
I'm
glad that you
question.
Can answer that. I think I'm glad that you could be honest about that, like I said. And because, you know, I think some people are expecting things out of something, and just to be honest and real with it, and instead of just selling them what they want to hear, because that's, I don't support those kind of workers. I don't resonate with that at all, and would never promote that. You know, I wanted to share with the listeners, I did have a chance to experience Miss Susan's work before. I won't get into super long detail because we've got 5 minutes left, but if you, I will say this, you know, she did do a remote healing over the phone, and I wasn't on the phone while she was doing it, but I was in a relaxing atmosphere, trying to be calm and relaxing, and I got the information from her later, and these things actually what was going on with me, you know. And one of the things that came out was she mentioned a monarch butterfly, and I ended up like a few days later seeing these butterflies everywhere. They're like saying, "Hey, Michaela, hey, I'm here." I'm like, "Oh my God," it was freaking me out. But you know, butterflies are all about transformation and other stuff like that. So you can read my in-depth, you know me, I can talk forever. Well, believe me, I can write forever too. But a testimonial that I put about what her work with me is on her website. So don't forget to go to www.spiriteaglesoaring.com, and you can read mine along with others that have spoke upon her work. Ms. Susan, we've got 4 minutes. I can't believe it. But I wanted to say, you know, when I was reviewing your website before, you know, I decided to bring you on the show and everything, I know, and also one of your logos on there, you've got the wolf and the eagle on there. And I, too, love the eagle. You've got a poem on there that you wrote called "The Eagle's Journey, Getting Ready to Fly." I love that so much, and I didn't know if you cared for me to share that with the audience tonight before we go.
Oh, sure. I'd be honored for you to share that. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. Well, I think it's so awesome, and I know that the eagle resonates with you, and I feel like that can resonate with a lot of people. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it and, you know, leave that be for everybody. So anyways, this is by Miss Susan K. Hanslick, and it's called "The Eagle's Journey, Getting Ready to Fly." On the edge of a mountain's jagged cliff, the queen bald eagle quietly sits amidst the snow and rolling clouds upon her throne that she has found. From here, she watches Mother Earth below, where animals run and big rivers flow, where long grassy prairies wave in the wind, where past spirits reside and all life begins. And she decides the direction she wants to go and prepares to journey where the four winds blow. And when she spreads her wings and looks to the sky, the eagle is then getting ready to fly. Soaring high in the heavens, so proud and so free, she glides with smooth grace, so effortlessly. And when she's floating with clowns in the realms up above, she's close to the Great Spirit and Grandfather Sun. And she's fulfilling her purpose and achieving her goals. By teaching others freedom, she's evolving her soul. And the Great Spirit watches from his painted dust sky and is so proud of his eagle as he watches her fly. And he's proud of his people when they do as they should. When they discover their purpose, it does their soul good. For it evolves them like eagle, takes their soul into flight, and leads them to their maker, directs them to his light. So decide the direction you want to go and prepare to journey where the four winds blow. And spread your wings and look to the sky, and just like the eagle, get ready to fly. I got goosebumps again, Miss Susie. That is just so beautiful.
Thank you so much for reading that. That's very sweet of you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
You're welcome. Welcome. Miss Susie, we got maybe a minute less, possibly maybe even 30 seconds. I don't want to get us cut off or anything, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to come on tonight to talk to the listeners about energy work, energy clearing, even animal readings. And I just wanted to say thank you for your gift that you bring to our world. And I hope that, you know, our message gets out there to those that it needs to. And again, they can find all your information on the show description after the show. But you just take care and have a great rest of your night.
You too, and thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Eagle medicine,
Very welcome.
Just so everyone knows, is connection to the Great Spirit. So just wanted to let
awesome.
You know,
thank
Creator.
You, Susie.
Okay, thank you.
Everyone, you guys have a great rest of your night. You're welcome, Miss Susie. Take care. Big, big hugs. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.